So yeah, my name is John. I'm from California, not just from Reading, but I'm there originally. My home city is right next to San Francisco, so that's where I'm originally from. I'm 19. I just got out of high school. I've been going to Bethel for about a year now, and that's what I've been doing. So yeah, it's just a real honor just to be here to serve you guys, just share the word, and just share what God's been put on my heart for the last couple of days and the last couple of weeks. So yeah, I'm going to be talking about grace, importance of grace in the kingdom. I was looking up online, and actually in the Oxford Dictionary, it shows that in Christianity, grace is defined as free and unearned favor of God. So it's like favor that we don't get to God because we did works or we did things, but it's just there because God loves us. It's that just because we're his children, we're there. And I'm going to open up at Ephesians 2:8. I'm going to be reading all of these from the New Living Translation. So Ephesians 2:8 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this because it's a gift from God. Well, so that's when we first believed that Christ was our Savior. He gave us a grace, something that was given freely to us. Because we're not striving for something, and that salvation through Christ came to us just because we believed. We had faith that this is real, this isn't fake, this isn't a lie, not just a story, but something that really happened, really just him coming into us and for us believing who he is, freeing us from our sins, that man cannot take credit for what Christ has done on the cross, but it's what God has given to us, because it's his son, it's his gift, it's just this overwhelming just present from who he is. It's like on Christmas when the United States it's Santa Claus, but over here it's Father Christmas, I guess. And he just the picture of just someone you don't even know, someone who's, and it's totally fictional, but someone who just comes and gives you a gift. You don't do anything to deserve it. It's just giving it out of his goodwill of who he is. He's just giving it to you. It's something that's freely given to you. Whoa. So salvation can't exist without the grace of God. And salvation is the cornerstone, one of the core values of our faith, of who we are as Christians. So without God's grace, we can't exist as like children of God, because we don't have a relationship with him without Christ. So without that, we can't be part of God's family without that relationship with Christ and who he is with inside of us. Whoa. Oh, yeah. So let's turn to Romans 3:23, 24, and 28. For everyone has sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God and his standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus, who freed us from the penalty of our sins. So we are made right with God through faith and not obeying the law. So just the way that the New Living puts it, I really love it. It's, we've fallen short of God's glorious standard. So in the Old Testament, God had the law. He had this thing of where we had to meet all these different standards, not just the Ten Commandments, which we understand as like that, but also in the Jewish law, there's all these different things that they do. They have to meet the Sabbath. They have to do all these different things. They have to give animal sacrifices, all these things to try to become pure, try to become all clean. But no one can be that. No one can be totally perfect except for Christ. So we try to become that, but it's saying before we met Christ, we didn't live up to that standard. We didn't live up to that who we used to be isn't who Christ is. So, but when we came into that, we became his identity. We took on his role. We became children of God, just like he is to his Father. So, we, instead of being sinners, now we're saints. We're royalty. We're God, that's how God sees us. And when we understand who we are as Christ, when we understand our own identity, we live up to our destiny and who we actually are. When we realize that it's not just us, but it's Jesus living inside of us every day. When we meet different people in the world, and when we talk to different people, that they see Christ inside of us. It's not just you know, they don't just see us as people, but they see Christ also. Whoa. And then it was talking about how, like, that it's not by the works of man. It's not something, like I was talking before, it's not how, like, in the Old Testament where they tried to accomplish, like, through my works, through my good deeds, you know, giving money to the poor, giving, helping out with someone if they need help moving, things like that, just works. It's not of that. We do have those things that the love we have for God, the love we have for people, that's Christ working through us, but that's not our purpose. Our purpose is to receive that salvation through He is, and understanding that it's not something that we have to work for. Yeah. Whoa. But it's understanding that sin in our life doesn't have to exist. We're already freed from that. That's not part of our identity anymore. We've become the saints, and when we realize that the sin is no longer an issue in our lives, that's what we have to understand as believers. And it's not living up by to a rule, but living up to His standard. That we understand that we're already living by that standard, and it's just coming more and more into our destiny and who we are. Whoa. So a lot of people think that it's just shown like this in the New Testament, all the things that in the New Covenant, just through Christ. But it's also shown like in the Old Testament. Not a lot of people realize. Yeah, there's a I was looking it up on a commentary, and they were talking about how in the Old Testament, Israel was already delivered from like Egypt through all the slavery they had been for 400 years. And all these promises that God had given to their other fathers, you know, Joseph, Abraham, Isaac, this land that would be theirs, that would be permanently theirs, this permanently, like, for the people of God, for Israel. And they eventually brought him out of slavery from Egypt, and did that, you know, through all the plagues that had happened, and just bringing them into that freedom. There's a lot of like similarities between the two. God delivered the Israelites from Egypt, so from the enemy, from all of that. And then through our covenant, through Christ, we're delivered from sin. Sin isn't an issue anymore inside of our lives. Yeah. And then the second thing that I noticed was He brought them into something new. He brought them into the promised land. To their fathers beforehand, He's like, I'm going to give you a place where you can just dwell and be know who your identity is, and they got that eventually, and the same with us. Like God brought us in, like in the Old Testament through His prophets, through like Isaiah, they always talked about the Messiah and all these things He would do for the people, but they thought that it was going to be like a kingdom, like a literal kingdom. Like many thought that. Many thought that the Romans were going to be, you know, put away, and that Israel was going to become a power again, like in Solomon's days, and that they would actually become like a power in the world. But realizing the followers of Christ realized it wasn't that of a physical realm, but that of the supernatural, of actually in the spiritual realm, that we would be free from that. It would be a kingdom in heaven, not on earth, kind of thing. So He brought us into our new identities, who we are. We're sons and daughters of just the kingdom. That we can come into that identity, who we are. Yeah. So it's God has the same nature all the time. Just because it's beforehand that we understand. You know, sometimes God changes His mind on things. Well, we have to realize that God is always the same. His nature, His core nature, He might do things a little bit different. Like in the Old Testament, He did it through the law and all of that. And in the New Testament, He did it through salvation. But it talks about, you know, in Hebrews 13:8, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So who we are and how God is, it never changes. That just that love and that kindness and that just that overwhelming grace that He has on upon our lives that doesn't change, even though like to us it might change in like just the way that He does things, but that nature, that how He does stuff is always the same, if that makes sense. Yeah. Let's go to Ephesians 3:7-8. By God's grace and mighty power, I've been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all of God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. So, in verse 7, it first talks about, like, even though... So it's like what God has already done for us, what he's already accomplished. It's that we be able to serve him. So it's what God has already put forth before me that I'm able to actually like talk to you guys here today, like several thousand miles away from my home, jet lagged, tired, exhausted, but still coming here to, you know, like bring the good news, bring what God's put upon me, just what he's already done beforehand. That's why I'm able to be here right now. Just putting forth the structures and things that I'm able to do that. It's also like, it's God, like, it's a privilege. So it's like, it's a gift to be able to, like, serve. It's given to us to just that opportunity to be able to just do that and just given these different things where I can share about who I am, share about Christ, share about what God's put in my heart. So yeah, just the personal experience in my life, that's been so much, just been these different opportunities in my life where I've been able to do different things that, like, through my own mindset and things, I wouldn't be able to do them at all, like, go into different countries to serve, just being able to go to school, just things that I never thought of, but through what God has already done, I've been able to accomplish that. Just, like, amazing things. Whoa. Wrong page. So when we look at verse 8, it first talks about how the least of all people, right? So you think of Paul as this man of great valor, great, you know, just in the faith, like who he is, just like this man who's been during that time, he went all over the known world because he was a Roman citizen, and he went to different countries, he just created all these different churches. But if we look before who Paul actually was, he was actually a person who was, like, persecuting Christians, one who was, you know, killing people, just putting them in jail, things like that. But when he had that encounter with God, when he had on the road to Damascus, he actually ended up becoming one of, like, the most influential people in all of Christianity, you know, just setting up all these different things, like just writing, like, half of the New Testament and just creating all these churches and stuff, you know. If he can do that with someone who's, you know, done all these bad things towards Christ and who he is, then what can he do inside of me? You know, so least of all people, even though you might see yourself as like, what can he do with, you know, what can he do with Andy? What can he do with Kevin? You know, what can he do with any of us? We just have to realize that it's not what we can see, but it's what he's already seen inside our future, what's laid before us, even though we don't know exactly everything that's going to go on in our lives. Yeah. So then, it's like, don't judge a man by his past, but, like, look towards his future and look towards his destiny. What kind of potential is inside the person that's in there? Yeah. And then just talking about, like, grace empowers us not to do what we would normally do. So, you know, Paul wouldn't obviously normally preach to people beforehand. You know, all this already happened. But it turns us into, like, a totally new person. Our identity, actually, our physical identities become different than when we experience the, like, the full grace of God. And then just become different people. So, yeah. Lord, I just bring this revelation to them, God. Whoa. Lord, I just ask that you just bring favor upon our lives, God. Lord, that we understand who we are as people, Lord. Lord, that the royalty, Lord, that Lord, that we don't live as, like, paupers, Lord, in the kingdom, but we live as princes and princesses, God. Lord, we just understand that you see us as just your children, God. That you provide for us, Lord. That you just know who we are, God. So we just put this into existence. Amen.